Welcome to another exciting episode of Sacred Cheese of Life. I'm Emma, and I'm going to talk about conjunctions today, which is so exciting. You are on the edge of your seat. So conjunctions, what I mean is I get really mad about conjunction, by which you can tell I grade a lot. I grade a lot of things, but that's not where I get mad about them. I get mad about them in fiction. I get mad about them when certain authors use them poorly. And by that, I mean, I have to step back a little bit because it's not just a grammatical question. It's a matter of consequences, like thing A causes thing B rather than thing A and also thing B. And there's an example. Wait, let me get it. There's an example from, I don't know where it's from. I think Ursula K. Le Guin said this. The king died and then the queen died is not a story. The king died and then the queen died of grief is a story. And that's because there's a causal connection between those two things. So I care a lot about that in fiction. I care about things mattering. Like, don't put things in the story that don't really matter is not necessarily good advice, but it's also good advice. You have to know when to put in things just for fun and when you're being self-indulgent and to cut it out. But on a grammatical level, this is a problem. I'm talking about 18 things at once. Stay with me. I'm also thinking about the Antwerp Diamond Heist because I just listened to my favorite murder and all of these things were familiar from Leverage and it's just like filling my brain. Sorry. There's not a lot of processing power in there anyway. And I haven't slept for about 5 days. I mean, I've slept, but I haven't slept enough for about 5 days. Yeah, that's right. So Antwerp Diamond Heist, fascinating. Consequence, fascinating. Logical, consistent sequence of events. Good in podcasts also, not just in fiction. In fiction, on a sentence level, you do not want to just have like a plus sign. And I yelled about this. I'm yelling about it now, but you can't really tell. Monday, July 4th, 2022. What was I doing? Yelling about comma and. I hate comma and. I hate it for so many reasons. I hate it because it's a tick. And you should try to avoid having too many of these kinds of lousy tics in your writing. Like if you have a few, okay. I'm editing a giant work that I wrote and I had some really bad tics. I called the readers internets, which is so embarrassing that it makes me physically cringe right now. Like, oh, I just went, ugh. What else did I do? I keep saying he and he. Like, stop it. It's so annoying. Try not to have tics. If you can. And I mean, you can't help it when you're writing, but go back and take them out. Have somebody who likes you, but maybe doesn't like you all that much, or who can be honest with you, let's put it better, tell you what you're doing wrong, because you are doing something wrong in your writing. And one of the things that happens in the otherwise wonderful Murderbot books is that the author constantly uses comma and. When she does not need to use it, and in a way that is not constructive. It is not useful in the sentences where she uses it. And I have examples here, so you can go back and read that. Don't listen to this. But the point is, in fiction, what happens needs to cause the next thing. It can't just be like, apple, also blueberry. That means nothing. It's meaningless if you just have a sequence. A string of pearls is what I wrote in this thing. A string of pearls is meaningless. You need to have thing causing thing causing thing. And I have written some bad books, let me tell you. In my bad books and bad screenplays and bad everything, things happen and then other things happen. In my good books, I'm not sure there are good screenplays, but I have not read them in a really long time. Also, I don't have Final Draft anymore since my laptop bit the dust in the great new house pet chaos of last year, and I haven't replaced it. So I cannot open them. I don't know. They might be good. Who knows? I haven't seen them in a long time. I think if they were good, somebody would have told me by now. I'm not sure. Anyway, point being, in the good novels and the good short stories, a thing happens. And that causes the next thing. They don't just happen in sequence like real life. Real life is boring and random and things just happen and a tree falls and it's not your fault and it doesn't mean you're a bad person. In fiction, when the tree falls, there's a reason for it and it means something and it's symbolic and metaphorical and all sorts of good things. Reality is boring and arbitrary, mostly. I mean, partly, to a certain degree, you can decide for yourself. However, fiction needs to be constructed logically and with consequences in mind. And I don't mean like, you did a thing, here's the consequences. I mean, thing occurs, causes thing. That's a consequence. Okay. The king died and then the queen died of grief is a story, as Ursula Le Guin says. So this is important, but it's also important on a sentence level. And that's why comma and drives me crazy. So let me give you some examples. And the very first sentence of All Systems Red is a really good story setup, right? It's like such a good hook. I'm going to read it to you. I could have become a mass murderer after I hacked my governor module, comma, but then I realized I could access the combined feed of entertainment channels carried on the company's satellites. Okay, I have no complaints about Martha Wells. She's awesome. She wrote wonderful books and I read them constantly. Like I reread them, all of them, one after the other, multiple times per year. I think she's brilliant. She created such a great character in Murderbot that I don't even know what to say about that. And if you haven't read them, you should start with All Systems Red and read them all, and you'll get annoyed at comma and also, I think, if you're at all a conscious reader who reads for sentence level style. And I can't help it. Like I said, I grade a lot. I have to read on a sentence level. I can't turn it off. It doesn't have an off. If it had an off, that would be great. I don't know if it would be great. It's very useful to be able to do that, because when I go to read my own work, I can go, oh no, you're ticking again. Take that out, take that out, take that out. You're being negative, you're being whiny, you're being, I do a lot of these things, complainy, like you're being self-pitying. Knock it off. You're not just talking, you're talking to somebody. So talk to them. What do they want to hear? Think those things through. Anyway, it's good to have a conscious editor in your own head. It takes time to develop. If you don't have one yet, it will take some time. Okay, so I'm going to read that again because I've yammered. I could have become a mass murderer after I hacked my governor module, but then I realized I could access the combined feed of entertainment channels carried on the company's satellites. There's so much to unpack in that. Why would this person, we know nothing about this person, it's the first sentence. Why would they even consider becoming a mass murderer? Is that something you were considering? What's a governor module? Company satellites? Entertainment channels. Okay, so something was holding you back from being a mass murderer, but you decided to watch TV instead. Okay, good. Why mass murderer? That's going to nag at you until you find out. And it's such good storytelling because she lobs that right up in the air and you have to keep your eye on it because you're wondering, like, mass murderer? not a good thing. I wrote about this before, but I'm just going to say it again. I get squirmy. I get awkward and uncomfortable when sentences tell events out of order. Stop that. Before I went to the car, I fell down the front steps. Well, maybe, but I'm a logical person and I want to hear, I fell down the front steps on the way to the car. And I know we don't think that way. We think, I was going to the car and I fell down the steps. But then we say, oh no, but before I could get there, I fell down the steps. We tend to tell things in the order that they matter to us, not in the order they happened. Okay, this is a great introduction to a book, yes. And the out of order thing isn't really a problem because you want the mass murder part up front. That's the hook. The problem comes when this gets confusing. And it does get confusing many, 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 many other times in the book when you get the time order out of order. If you get things out of chronological order, it can drive your reader crazy. Okay, but the important part here is comma plus and. So let's look at it. You don't need that comma if you're connecting two things that actually should be connected. So she leaves it out when those thoughts go together. So here's an example. Page 2. I was looking at the sky and mentally poking at the feed when the bottom of the crater exploded. Awesome. Nobody would ever put a comma there because those two things are happening at the same time and they belong together. I was looking at the sky and mentally poking at the feed. And I love this because it goes back to sentence 1, right? This person is doing some sort of guard job, we have already deduced by this point, and poking at the feed, and we already know the feed means the TV or the entertainment channels, whatever. I was looking at the sky and mentally poking at the feed when the bottom of the crater exploded. Now, this is an author who often, in that occasion, will use comma and. I was looking, she might easily have written this. I keep shrugging my shoulders. You can't see me. I was looking at the sky and mentally poking at the feed, comma, and the bottom of the crater exploded. She does that all the time, and it drives me crazy. She does it in, I believe this is the next sentence. No, it's not the next sentence. It's a paragraph down. Next page. I dragged Bharadwaj, I don't know how to pronounce that name. I dragged Bharadwaj out of its mouth and shoved myself in there instead, comma, and discharged my weapon down its throat and then up toward where I hoped the brain would be. That is super awkward, okay? If you're writing something, you might write that, but then you got to rewrite it. You got to rewrite it. And the reason you need to rewrite it is it's awkward and it's not doing what it needs to be doing, which is giving you the events in the order in a in a logical way. It's, how do I explain this? It's a string of pearls. It's, I dragged, I shoved, I discharged my weapon, I discharged my weapon up. Okay. And so it's a messy way to say these things. Like if you wanted to rewrite it, should we try to rewrite it? Hold the phone. Okay. The first part is perfectly great. I dragged Bardwaj out of its mouth and shoved myself in there instead. I would break the sentence right there. It is okay to have short sentences. This is genre fiction. Nobody is complaining. It's fine. Break it right there. Second sentence. I discharged my weapon down its throat, then up toward where I hoped the brain would be. That's practically poetic. That's got a nice rhythm to it. So you've got two sentences now that make perfect sense separately. The reason to break it is that the comma and does not need to be there. It doesn't do anything. It doesn't add anything. It doesn't help. And anything that isn't adding anything or helping, and in fact, I would argue is making things worse, needs to go. Get rid of it. So the events in the first part do not happen at the same time or as part of the same movement as those in the second part, right? Going back to I fell down the steps on the way to the car. It's not the same event, and the comma and just slaps them together with a staple or duct tape or some sort of futuristic adhesive, so you don't need it. It's trying to say it's all happening at once, but it's not happening at once. So get rid of it. So here's an example I wrote. I fell down the chute and tried to brace my legs, comma, but scraped them painfully against the rough surface. Those are happening at the same time, so they belong in the same sentence. They're not, there's no reason to stick them together if they don't need to be together. I am doing a lot of shoulder work in this and you are just not seeing it. Okay, so when comma plus and is used over and over to show sequence, it kills your forward motion. It makes it so that you're just like, again, apple plus blueberry plus table lamp plus fan. Like those are not, it's not a logical connection. There's no logical connection there. And there's all these different words you can use instead. Go to the click list of conjunctions. Here, let's just look at this. This is English Grammar Revolution, which is this the first list I saw. EnglishGrammarRevolution.com list of conjunctions. After, although, as if, as long as, blah, blah, blah. This is a very old-fashioned list. Because, before, I'm just going to leave out the ones that are not actually conjunctions. If, in case, like this person includes lest. Okay. If you're using lest, maybe rethink. Once, since, though, until, unless, whenever, when, where, wherever, while. Okay, those are some of them. You could also use, I don't know, they've got a whole bunch of junk on here that we don't need. The point being, the word should convey more than plus. So I used to have a piece of paper taped to my computer, and I think right now it's upstairs on the corkboard that says, but, except, and therefore. But, except, and therefore. The connection between events should be a thing happened, but then this thing happened. Oh no. Or a thing happened, therefore this thing happened. Things need to have logical connection more so than just thing, then thing. Right? Is this making sense? You're not here. I can't ask you. And yet it's something that gets me so worked up that I'm inarticulate about it. Let me go back to this. Oh no. Here we go. Okay. I sat on the couch and watched TV and ate carrots and drank tea. That is the kind of thing I keep seeing in this. And that's a description of me, basically, because I will do those things. And I will see, it's not even showing you that those things are at the same time. It's because it has them all lined out in a string of pearls. I sat on the couch and watched TV and ate carrots and drank tea. Okay. I did them all simultaneously, but you can't tell because it's a string there. Here, let's rewrite it. Much more interesting. I sat on the couch watching TV while I ate carrots and thought about whether to bake shepherd's pie. Okay, that's a lot more interesting. And maybe what you're trying to convey is this person is very boring and stuck in an eternal present where they're going nowhere and doing nothing. Maybe that's how you want to do it. Do that if that's what you want to do. But if that's not what you want to do, then don't do that. Oh my golly, that's so smart. Gosh, thanks me. Don't do the thing you don't want to do. Although, honestly, if I could do that in my life, that would be a miracle. All right, so comma plus and sticks everything in this static present. It's just like that. You're sitting on the couch. You're watching TV, you're eating carrots and drinking tea. That's going to give you a stomachache, by the way. I did that yesterday. Okay, every event in fiction should drive you on to the next event. It has to have narrative motion or you're just sitting there. And that is true on the grammatical sentence level, and it's true on the larger plot event level. Writing plot for plot will always end you up in a situation like this, because if you start with plot, you are going to end up trying to shoehorn events in that don't come organically from character, and you're going to end up with this kind of like mechanical doll jerky motion plot, which you don't want, because it never feels right. It never feels right. So just to back up to original premises, you've got to drive it from character. They want a thing, they can't do the thing. Why can't they do the thing? Because of these reasons. They're trying to do the thing. They do this. Good, we've got an event. They've done a thing. Even if it's not doing something, which is something I'm a champion at lately, doing nothing when I'm faced with a large decision. Good job, me. Keep on doing nothing. No, don't. Make a choice. What a boring story. So you've got to have an action. And then that action has to have consequences. And then the consequences drive more choices and more actions and more consequences, right? That's storytelling. Okay, you don't want to start with the events that you want to have and then back up. And I keep... Boy, I'm just so visual today. You cannot see me. You can't, can you? I don't think so. There's a post-it note over the camera. There are a lot more instances of comma and that I would like to murder. Oh, here's the kind that I hate. Another burst of commands from the governor module came through, and I backburnered it without bothering to decode them. Okay. Why do I hate that? If you don't know yet, that's okay, because I'm really not being super clear. It's really hard to explain this. Another burst of commands from the governor module came through, and I backburnered it without bothering to decode them. It doesn't tell you the connection between those two things, except for saying one happened and the other one happened. It doesn't even say when, like then. What I would suggest What I would suggest is using but. But tells you something. Another burst of commands from the governor module came through, but I backburnered it without bothering to decode them. That tells you the person who is Murderbot should have decoded them. It turns out important later that they didn't. It didn't decode them, because that set of commands is actually really important. You'll find out later why. So it should be but. It's meaningful. That needs to be a meaningful word. And maybe you're not as obsessive about comma and as I am, but you will be. So that works much better. Another burst of commands from the governor module came through, comma, but I backburnered it without bothering to decode them. Much better. Here's another one. This one's okay, but would be better with but. I was far less vulnerable in this position than he was, and I wasn't exactly having a great time either. That's not so bad. It's not a time difference there. Okay. Here's another one that needs to be destroyed. Oh, this sentence. The feed was quiet now, comma, Mensa having managed to use her leadership priority to mute everything but med system and the hopper, comma, and all I could hear on the hopper feed was the others frantically shushing each other. Unless you're writing in Latin, you don't want to use that construction. So you're going to break that immediately into two sentences. The feed was quiet now, period. Mensa had used her leadership priority to mute everything but med system and the hopper. Period. All I could hear on the hopper feed was the others frantically shushing each other. Period. Why is that better? Please write 500 words on the topic and submit by the end of the day. The next one is actually okay, because it furthers the point instead of being a pointless plus sign. They don't give Murderbots decent education modules on anything except murdering, comma, and even those are the cheap versions. That one's funny. That's a joke. Right? It makes sense. It's not just slapping duct tape to connect two things. You can tell, and I wrote this in here, you can tell the good ones from the bad ones, because nobody would ever say the bad ones out loud. We do not speak this way. We don't go comma and in spoken English. You don't do it. Try reading those out loud, or when you come across them in the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Murderbot books, see how weird they sound when you say them out loud. I wonder what the audiobook sounds like. Because it's just so awkward. We don't ever sound normal saying that. Because when you see it and it's awkward, it's because it's not what we would say. Which sounds circular, but it's true. Normal spoken English is the rule, and writing needs to follow along. And this isn't writing or normal spoken English when people do this. I don't know why people do it. It's a tick. I mean, it's a tick. Like I said, I have my own and they're awful. They're much worse than this. But I go back and edit them out. Hopefully I edit all of them out. Good heavens. You should see me running the editor function on a finished novel. It's like, this isn't a word. This isn't a word. And I'm like, shh, shh is a word. Listen to me. You know what I mean when I say it? Shh. That's a word. So leave me alone, editor. That's a word. Also, that's in dialogue. It's in dialogue. People say these things. Ugh. Anyway, dialogue should replicate actual language when possible. So here's a handy list for you. But, then, except, unless, because, although, while, I don't know about while. I hate while. But instead, but unfortunately, and all of those are meaningful. Those are meaningful connections. And again, it plays on the level of event, not just sentence. It plays on the level of event. Unless, I guess it could be funny. I'm thinking of the stepping on the rakes. Because it's, if you go, he steps on a rake and it whacks him in the face. The funny part about it is that he steps on one and then another and then another and another and another and another. It's a string of pearls, but it's a meaningful string of pearls. Oh no. Okay. All I have to do is open up one of her books and I can find great examples with comma and. So here's one. This is from System Collapse. It just happens to be the one I have on my phone. I really hoped he was right, but it sounded like something that would happen a long time from now, and I was mainly worried about now. That is a perfect sentence. That is a perfect sentence. It has comma and. What's different? It matters that those things are together. Those things need to be together. Like, you could not let go. You could not break that into multiple sentences. It would not make sense. I guess it would, but it wouldn't be as good. Like, if I did that, like, say you took me at my word and decided, oh, I have to kill all comma and, even though I'm a worldwide award-winning novelist. Don't do that. Do what you want. However, if you can think about this, it might help everybody. I really hoped he was right, but it sounded like something that would happen a long time from now, period. I was mainly worried about now, period. It's not as good. Her way is better. Her way's better. And I also like how often in this is System Collapse, so it's many novels in. I had taken that option once, so I could relate to how important that one was. I love that. That is a comma and a conjunction, and it's perfect. It does it. It means something. So is great. So means something. I'm really mad at and, aren't I? I'm mad at and. There's a lot of so's in this one. I like it. I know, I said, and I did know, and now I was having an emotion. Like a big, overwhelming emotion. It felt bad but good. A weird combination of happy and sad and relieved. Like something had been stuck and it wasn't stuck anymore. Do you hear how natural that sounds? That sounds so natural. That's amazing. Okay, I'm going to quit reading Murderbot at you for the moment. My point is, some of these sentences are great, and when you go back and if you wanted to listen to those again, which you don't, here, I'll read one again. I'll read it just as it was, because it's not good. It's not. By the way, if you ever want to really confuse me, all you have to do is do this, and I wrote this out. Before you walk the dog, take the compost to the compost pile and rinse out the bowl, but when you come back, make sure you don't spill any lettuce seeds, but first go next door and see if they have the newspaper. I can't do any of those things now. I might walk the dog, but I might just take the compost to the compost pile. If you put things out of order for me, my brain stalls, and I don't know what's happening anymore, because I'm trying to assemble a logical order to do things, but if you put the first thing last, I'm going to forget 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, because 7 is now 1. It doesn't work. Okay, so here we go. I dragged Bardwatch out of its mouth and shoved myself in there instead, and discharged my weapon down its throat, and then up toward where I hoped the brain would be. The more I read it, the worse it gets. I'm sorry, that's really problematic for me. Another burst of commands from the governor module came through, and I backburnered it without bothering to decode them. Yep, I still hate it. I hate it. Oh no. Here's the Latin one. The feed was quiet now, comma, Mensa having managed to use her leadership priority to mute everything but med system and the hopper, comma. And all I could hear on the hopper feed was the others frantically shushing each other. I love the second half of that. Truly, all I could hear on the hopper feed was the others frantically shushing each other. I love that because it's really vivid, it's really funny, because it's noisy. Noisy shushing is great. You know I hate the first half. I'm sorry. I really love these books. I really love these books. Maybe they stand out more because the books are so great. Because one of the greatest things about the Murderbot books, of course, is Murderbot. Murderbot is a construct a genderless construct, like a cyborg, human and artificial materials assembled together to form a sentient being who has been treated horribly its entire life, had its memory erased, all this stuff, and has been manipulated and used in terrible ways. Others just like it are left for dead or use, you know, people set them to fight each other to the death for fun. Like, absolutely horrible. It's a slavery narrative, obviously. It's also a brilliant commentary on PTSD. It's also a beautiful commentary on hope, despite horrible things happening to you. And there's a point in one novel, it might be the second one, where Murderbot says to these kids, they're young people. They're like, I don't know, they're young people. Sometimes, I am paraphrasing, sometimes bad things happen to you and there's nothing you can do about it. And they look at Murderbot like, ugh, that was really dark. But it's true, and it's kind of what drives the entire series. But Murderbot's out there helping everybody and being really, actually really hopeful for all of the grim narrative that goes on inside its head, which is what we get in most of the books. The things are really hopeful. That was loud. That was a truck. Reason number one, I should move. A truck. Reason number two, mold. Maybe reverse those. Reason number three, no insulation. High cost of heating oil. Reason number four, no people. Reason number five, no job. Maybe that should be number one. Oh no, I've got to move and I don't want to. I'm looking at my pretty trees that are threatening to fall on the house all the time. Anyway, a dark internal narrative, but this is a being that other people adore. Once they discover that there's a person in there and not just a robot in a shell, and that happens because Murderbot has to take off the protective armor because of, you know, the pulling Bardwaj out of its mouth, etc. All these bad things happen. And it's so beautifully plotted, and it's just the greatest character. One of my favorite characters of all time. Once people discover there's a person in there, they discover, you know, oh, that could have been a mass murderer thing. And then they discover, we like this person. We like this person because, some of them don't, but most of them do. And they like this person because it could have been a mass murderer, but it just wants to sit around and watch TV and help people. It's helping people because it doesn't know what else to do, but still it's helping people. It's such a beautiful thing when you realize the duality of this narrative, that on one level, it's just all complaining. It's just nonstop negativity and complaining and like, oh, here we go again. And this, no, sure. Why don't I go into the dangerous thing and do the, okay, fine, I'll do it. You stay here and be safe. And then also going into the dangerous thing and helping and leaving everyone else and making sure they're safe. Like, that's wonderful. And they're such good books. They're such good books. Please don't take my complaints about a particular grammatical tick to mean anything other than I can't stop grading. Okay? Okay. Good. Okay, I might have to cut this short because I'm wheezing so badly. I made spinach dip and I don't see what is in it that should be setting off an asthma attack. But apparently something is, and that's annoying. Stop it. I wish it wasn't happening. I don't like asthma or arthritis. I don't like any of it. I wish it would knock it off. Alberta is burning down and the smoke is here, although it's less than yesterday. Speaking of asthma, that is a major cause for me, is fine particulates. Thanks, Los Angeles. Miss you. You tried to kill me, but I miss you. Notice I haven't been back, though, because of the trying to kill me part. Passively, but the trying to kill me still happened. Living in Los Angeles actively made today's recording harder. Because whenever I'm around smoke at all, and I mean bonfire, somebody smoking a cigarette, whatever, can't breathe, fine particulates, whatever, nanometers, really causes a problem. So anyway, Alberta being on fire is making it hard for me to talk about Murderbot, but what are you going to do? There's something I was reading in my ridiculously massive historical archive. I want to call it that rather than a blog because blog sounds stupid. It's a historical archive where I'm mostly excited and looking forward to fun stuff. And then there's a bunch of years where I'm like, this sucks. Those are the main years. Main as in with an E on the end. It's mostly being excited and hopeful about stuff. But I just read something in it where my friend Amy came up with this brilliant observation. Not me. Amy. She's the one who was like, you want to go to Los Angeles? You just scared. And I was like, what? Okay, then I'm going. And then I went. So I'd like to talk to her right now. She said about Battlestar Galactica, which I also couldn't shut up about, in that, speaking of things you might want to edit out, but I think it pulls the entire spine out of it if I take that out, because that's what I was in love with. So she said this thing about how all of the characters on Battlestar Galactica think that they themselves suck, but they're crazy about somebody else, which I thought was so brilliant. Not just that she observed it, but as a way to design characters. And I'm thinking about it because of Murderbot, who is, you know, it's Murderbot who calls itself that. It's not what anybody else calls it. Nobody calls it that. They call it SecUnit. That's its name, basically. It's kind of a designation and a description, but it's basically, it functions as a name. But it calls itself that because it knows it killed a bunch of people at one point. Not, it doesn't really know why or when or how or where, but it knows it happened. Obviously, it feels really bad about that. Your job is to protect people and you killed a bunch of them? You're gonna feel bad about that. It's very bad at describing its own feelings, though. It does not always understand what it's feeling, so it's a person, obviously. Hi, I'm the same. I don't always know what I'm thinking or feeling. I need Amy in my life to tell me what to do. Thank you, Windows. Very timely. You need other people to tell you stuff. And I think this goes on all the time with my friends. Like, that's my dog snorting. Thank you, dog. Very timely. I'm sure an alarm or something is about to go off. You don't understand yourself necessarily, and you need to say it out loud, and you need to hear it from other people's ears in order to understand it. Like, Murderbot does not understand that it's out there caring about people left and right, that it's, you know, it cares about these people. It's taking care of people. It would never describe itself as taking care of people, but that's all it does. And that's fascinating to me. So, Murderbot, so good. And then you get, like, so this is what Amy was saying, like, Starbuck thinks she sucks so bad, but she loves Adama, and she loves Lee in a complicated, weird way, and she loves Roslyn, she loves Hilo, she loves Sharon. I don't know that she interacts that much with the Chief, but she likes him perfectly fine, but she thinks that she's garbage, because she knows what she did in the past that got her fiancé killed. And she's right about that. I mean, not that she's garbage, but she did do something horrible. So that's fascinating. And then you've got all these other people. Everybody in it thinks that they suck. I'm not sure Roslyn. Well, kind of. But they all think someone else is amazing. And that's just such a great way to design a story. It's so good. I'm really sorry I'm so wheezy. You know what? It kind of lifted. So I talked my way through it. Good job, me. And I'm the one who has to go back and edit out all the wheezes. Yeah, try to avoid in your writing and in your thinking just X plus Y. Like, things need to have more meaning than that. And maybe that's what I mean about Maine, is it's just a lot of, like, I sat on my couch and ate carrots and drank tea and watched TV. Like, that's, do you know how boring that sounds? That sounds so boring. Because it is. It's, make that a better sentence. I watched Leverage with my friend. I watched TV and wrote about anything, anything that's consequential. Otherwise, it's just like you're in the train station. I'm in the train station of life waiting for the train, and there is no train. And that's not good. It's not good narrative. And boy, as I'm reading this, what did I call it? Historical archive? It is so exciting. It's incredibly exciting to me to read it. And I'm like, are you going to go? You say you're going. Are you going? You're going. You're going. You're packing. Oh, you're packing. Oh, you got really, really, really sick, which is like life being foreshadowing, because I was so sick. I had a horrible respiratory infection when I went to find an apartment. And then even that was not simple. The guy dragged it out and dragged it out and dragged it out and dragged it out. It took weeks for him to confirm that I could have the apartment. Why? And I was on tenterhooks the whole time. It was like I was about to go and I didn't know if I had this apartment. And then just thing after thing. And there's whole things that aren't even in it that I remember. Like I had the trailer packed to go attached to my Jeep, and my brother and I were going to drive. I don't even mention in it that my brother was there. And then he wanted to go 65. Well, if you do that with a trailer, it sways. It starts whipping back and forth. You can't. And he's like, well, I'm not driving all that way 55. And I was like, okay. What I should have done was say, okay, you stay, I'll go. Who cares? It would have been fine. It would have saved me a lot of money. But no, instead we unloaded everything into a truck. And he drove the Jeep. Okay, so he drove the car and I drove the truck. This is why a historical archive is great, because I remember things so poorly. Kind of like Murderbot. I'm going to stop now and go use my inhaler. If you have any questions or comments or concerns about my... Did I mention I haven't slept properly for 5 nights in a row? If you have any questions or concerns or comments, please email me at sacredcheesepodcast@gmail.com. And if that's not accurate, it's on my website. I'm really tired and asthmatic. Not sure what to talk about next time. If you have ideas, or send me a request, for goodness sake. And I need to answer listener questions, but I'm too tired right now and scattered. And so, yeah, sacred cheese of life. Bye.